At this time of the year, there are a lot of advertisements on the radio and on television to get you to think about a new you. Of course, we have the New Year's coming up next week. Lord willing, if He grants us more time to live, we will experience a new year of 2020. And around this time of the beginning of the new year, there are a lot of advertisements dealing with New Year's resolutions, and a lot of them deal with the outward physical person. Weight loss, makeovers, a new you. And I think that's good. We certainly could set goals for ourselves to be more healthy. But this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about a new you from the inside out. I believe more importantly, God wants you to think about a new you on the inside as you begin this new year. Let's talk about a new you for a new year. In Ezekiel chapter 36, when God through Ezekiel was talking about the days ahead in which His people would come back to Him after the Babylonian captivity and serve Him, God talks about a new you on the inside and what it will accomplish for an individual. In Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 22, we read, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Jehovah, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the nations shall know that I am Jehovah, saith the Lord Jehovah, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, and gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them." Notice that God is going to work on their inside. A new spirit and a new heart, a new attitude, a new disposition. Not the one that is stony and hardened and rejecting God, but one that is pliable and open to hearing the Word of God and obeying it. A new spirit and a new heart. Friend, is that what you need in 2020? Is that what would be best for you? There's certainly nothing wrong with taking care of the outside of our body, but that does not do anything for our relationship with God in eternity. But a new spirit or attitude and a new heart certainly would help us in our relationship with God. So let's talk about four things this morning on the program to encourage us as we approach this new year, if God does grant us that time, if the Lord wills. What are some new things that can make us a new you for the new year? I want to talk about a new life, a new rule of faith, a new way of thinking, and a new hope. First of all, let's talk about a new life. Friend, do you need to change your relationship with God by coming into fellowship with Jesus Christ? Not just a casual knowledge of Him, but reading His Word in the New Testament, knowing it, understanding it, and applying it in your life, where you could become a new creature in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul talks about a new creature or a new creation in Christ. And it comes about when we hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and we believe it and obey it, and we're baptized into Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul writes, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. But all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, on behalf of Christ, as though God were entreating by us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And working together with Him, we entreat also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He says, "At an acceptable time I will hearken unto thee, and in a day of salvation did I succor thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Friend, do you need to be saved in Jesus Christ by being baptized into Him? When we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. And Paul says that we are a new creature or a new creation. Those sins are washed away, and we've been reconciled to God. Verse 19, our trespasses are gone. And what brings it about? Paul writes in verse 19, the word of reconciliation. Obeying the words of the New Testament gospel reconciles us, brings us back together with God. Do you need a new life in Christ? And can we sit down and study more and encourage you to do that? When Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 about Jesus dying on the cross, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, when Jesus died on the cross, the old law was taken out of the way. And then Paul writes that He might create in Himself of the two, Jews and Gentiles, all mankind, of the two, one new man, and so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body, that's the church, unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And He came, Jesus came, and preached peace to you that were afar off, the Gentile, and peace to them that were near, the Jew. For through Him we have our access in one Spirit unto the Father. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each individual building fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. That unity that we can have with other Christians, but one new man. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, one other place in the New Testament where he uses that expression, new creature. Paul writes, "For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." We can be a new creature in Christ, and this is accomplished when we are born anew, or born again, John chapter 3 and verse 5, of water, baptism, and the Spirit, obeying the Spirit's words. It's accomplished by being baptized into Christ and being raised to walk in newness of life in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Paul writes, "We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life." A new life, a new creature in Christ. Friend, let today be that day that you do that. Contact us. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Can we sit down and study and read and learn what to do to obey the gospel so that you can begin this new year a new creature in Christ? What a great way to begin. If in time you can work on weight loss and makeovers and other kinds of outward physical things, that's fine. Sometimes people get surgeries for weight loss, that's fine. But that's not as important as your soul. Be a new creature in Christ by putting him on in baptism. And let me help you to do that. Let's sit down and study and learn how to do that. Number one, a new you for a new year means a new life in Jesus Christ. Number two, it means you're going to walk by a new rule of faith. You're going to change your direction. You're going to change your walk in life. And you're going to change what guides you or who guides you. We need to change our direction if we're walking after our own thoughts. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." We need to let God guide us. We don't need to lean upon our own understanding. We need to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 5, "And lean not upon our own understanding." In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, God's ways and God's words are higher than our ways and our understanding. He made us. He knows what is best. Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's do what God wants us to do by following His Word, His will, His wisdom, and not our own. Do you need to change the direction that you're walking and follow a new rule of faith? Back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, just like in Ezekiel, Jeremiah also prophesied of some new things. Ezekiel prophesied of a new heart and a new spirit. And Jeremiah prophesied that there would come a new covenant, a new testament. It's what we call the New Testament. Matthew through Revelation, the law of Christ. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31, Jeremiah says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." This is not the law of Moses that was given on Mount Sinai. This is something new. It'll be something different. It'll be something new. It won't be that. "Which my covenant they break." God's people broke the old law. "Although I was a husband unto them, saith Jehovah. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Jehovah. I will put my law." Notice the covenant is law. It's not optional. It's law. It's the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. It's the perfect law of liberty. James 1:25. The New Testament law of Christ. So a new covenant is a law. And I will put that in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's not just something that we carry in our hands. It's something that is written on our heart. We apply it in our lives. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know Jehovah, for For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Jehovah, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. Knowing will come first before entering into a relationship with God. We will know that at the beginning. We don't have to be told that later. We will know that because that learning and that knowing comes first, and we come into a relationship with God, and it will also be a covenant that will forgive us of our sins when we obey it. I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more. So, Jeremiah prophesies of a new law and a new covenant. And that is what Jesus died for. When Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, in the upper room, they took the Passover, and Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he instituted the Lord's Supper in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20. And the cup in like manner after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, even that which is poured out for you. So Jesus shed his blood on the cross for a new covenant, a new testament. Paul writes of the same thing in Romans 7 and verse 6. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8, 8 through 13 quotes from Jeremiah 31. The Hebrew writer applies it to the New Testament. Hebrews 9, 15. Hebrews 12, 24. So, we have a new law to be under today. It's the law of Christ. And friends, you need to walk by that. We have laws of the land, and that's important to obey them. Paul writes about that in Romans 13, 1 and following, and 1 Peter 2, 16. We're supposed to obey the laws of the land, that's right. Traffic laws, and pay our taxes, and other kinds of things. But in order to be right with God and to go to heaven, we need to be following the law of Christ. There's another law. It's the New Testament law. A lot of people don't know about it or care about it or realize it. It is a law. And it's the perfect law of liberty. It will free us from sin and from other problems that go on in life. It's the law of Christ. It's the law of the Spirit of life. It gives us spiritual life. Romans 8, 1 and following. So, we need a new rule of faith. And I would encourage you to let this time be the time where you're going to decide, I'm going to start walking by that new rule of faith in my life. I'm going to put it into practice. And it will make me right with God. And it's not difficult to understand. We can understand the law. There's a lot of laws written by men that are convoluted and difficult to follow. You can understand the law of Christ. You can read it yourself. You can spend time each day reading it and read through the whole New Testament. And it won't take a long time to do that. I've known of people who have read through the whole law of Christ in just a few weeks. You can put your mind to it and spend time doing it, and you can read through the whole thing. And so, a new rule of faith that is going to guide you all the way to heaven. The laws of man won't do that, but the law of Christ will. And then number three, when we are baptized into Christ with that new life and we agree to follow that new rule of faith, the law of Christ, the New Testament, we're going to have a new way of thinking. You need to change your thinking to conform to the image of Christ, not to the image of this world. We're not going to think the way our friends think or co-workers think or fellow citizens in America think. The thinking of man is what has caused a lot of problems in our society today. Thinking that causes racism, thinking that causes pain to others and hurt to others, thinking that leads to lawlessness. There's more and more theft on the rise. People are not obeying the law. In the state of California, recently, they passed a law that said theft, the merchandise, if it adds up to $950 or less, the theft of that merchandise is not going to be prosecuted. So now, there's video surveillance tape of many examples of this in that state and even in other states, where they're calling it gang theft. Several people will rush into a store and they will steal merchandise, and some of them have calculators, and they're actually calculating what they're stealing to make sure that it's $950 or less so that they won't be prosecuted. Can you imagine that? Lawlessness is becoming more rampant because people, their way of thinking is, I don't have to follow law. And I'm not sure what's worse, the people who don't want to follow law and live a lawless life, or the people in charge in some of these states who won't prosecute law, who won't stand for law, who won't uphold law, who won't enforce the law. I'm not sure which is worse. It's a shame that we see more and more lawlessness, but it's a way of thinking that leads to that. You can have a new way of thinking. By the way, thievery and theft is a sin. It's wrong. And you might live in a state that doesn't prosecute it, but God will prosecute it. And we need to remember that. Paul says, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that is good, that he may have whereof to give to them that have need. Ephesians 4:28. But earlier than that, just earlier in the chapter, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, and put on the new man, that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away all falsehood, speak truth each one with your neighbor. Don't lie. Be angry and sin not. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. These are things that are part of putting on the new man, the new way of thinking. Chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving thanks. Know this of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. We need to have a new way of thinking. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein you also once walked when you lived. Put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, verse 12, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. See, these are different, a different new way of thinking. We read in some of those things about anger and sexual immorality and money matters, covetousness, greed, lying. theft. That's the old way of thinking. That's the old man, the sinful man, the worldly man or woman. We're going to put that away. And it's accomplished with a new knowledge. And that is following that new rule of faith. Back in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, before Paul talks about the new man, he says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man that grows corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man." It comes from truth, verse 21, and a mind that is focused on following that truth. That's where that new way of thinking comes. It doesn't come by going to the library and reading the books of men. It comes by reading our New Testament. And that new way of thinking will give us a new life, a new relationship. And then it will lead, last of all, to a new hope. We need to change our outlook to live with a heavenly aim. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 to set our minds on things that are above. Colossians 3, 2, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. We have a hope of heaven, a heavenly outlook. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, I press on toward the goal and to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. He kept his eyes on the hope of heaven, and we need to do the same. This is accomplished by having a new focus. We're going to focus not on the material things of this life, but we're going to keep our eyes set on the afterlife, the new heavens and the new earth, which is a phrase for heaven itself. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. We're going to keep our eyes focused on heaven. We're going to lay up treasures in heaven, not on the earth. Yes, we'll work and we'll go to school and we'll pay the bills and we'll do this and that, but each day we're always focused on whatever we do. It's going to accomplish the Christian life so that I can go to heaven one day. A new hope. Friend, if God gives us a new year in a few days, will you have a new life in Christ, a new rule of faith, a new way of thinking, and a new hope? If not, let us help you to have those things. Let's get together and do what we need to do to have a new you in a new year. Thank you for listening and joining us this morning. We hope that you'll have a good day.